O'Hero Braided Line is the only gel-spun fiber line that comes in four colors, including our multicolor braid, which changes every 10 yards for trolling and deep dropping. O'Hero Braided Line is not only the thinnest line in the fishing industry, but also ranks as the highest in abrasion resistance, using the highest and latest technology. O'Hero Braid will cast further and last longer. It comes in many spool sizes from 150 yards to bulk size. Very importantly, with great prices. You can find O'Hero Braided Line at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or online at justforfishing.com.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface course with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides and CapMel.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto, Neil Taylor, and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose as your topic fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
Now.
This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
And welcome to another week of Fish Talk Radio on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. I am Neil Taylor, and you are not. I had to get that out of the way. So another week of fishing and more to talk about, more to report. Captain Jason will be on here with me as soon as we get him piped in. I had a great week of fishing. I was out less than I had been all the previous two months before. I had a few more days off, but we had some great fishing days. Captain Mel Classic was three weekends ago, so I'm now fully recovered from tournament mode, and that was another great event. Great feedback. The sponsor letter, the summary, all the results posted, and the last is the photo album. We have great photos from the event, so we enjoyed that a great deal. And the 2017 event is going to be April 22nd or April 29th. We've already looked at that. We've already talked about it. We have not made a decision, but we have those two dates proposed for that. So that's what we have going on there. The website site for the radio show, capmel.com, did a full upgrade a few months ago, and I really am happy with that program. I have to manage that site now, so very happy with that. If you have never been there, take a look around. Make sure you have a couple hours available because there is a lot to see on there. There are over 2,000 articles. There are about 30 or so reports that are updated weekly. My own reports I update every 2 weeks, which I write the Upper Tampa Bay, the Lower Tampa Bay, and the Kayak Report. So check that out when you have time. The fishing I have done, we did some red fishing, we did some trout fishing, we did some flounder fishing, we did some mackerel fishing, and we had pretty good results on all. I just wonder if this year will not be as good a flounder year as the last three. There are some that... Some days we caught more, and there were some good ones, but we just haven't had any huge days like we'd had in years past. Jason, are you there? Still don't hear him yet. Anyway,
there?
I hear you now.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. What are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm just, getting old and having doctor's appointments.
Yeah, that's no good.
No, it ain't, but I feel better after the doctor's appointment. That's a good thing.
Did they get you all fixed up?
It did, man. It did.
Jason acquired a third nipple, and they have removed the third nipple, so...
Yeah, I had a cyst on my chest, man, that was rapidly growing that they had to go in and do some nasty stuff to. But, hey, I'm good, and I'm fishing, so...
Excellent. So,
that's what it could be asked for.
How were your trips this week?
Fishing's been off a little bit. I've been doing a lot of tarpon fishing, and, you know, tarpon's a hot commodity right now. And it's been, tarpon is one of them things, man. It's, when it's good, it's great. When it's bad, it's really bad. And it's, and again, we're on midweek, but every day has gotten a little better. We had our full moon last Saturday, and I really think that moved the fish around. And the worst of the whole thing is we've had fronts rolling the last 2 weeks, and that has provided lots of west-southwest winds. Anybody that tarpon fishes knows that west-southwest winds are not good for fishing the beaches.
Right.
So that's what we've been dealing with. It's been a real frustrating week. Long hours for us as guides and a lot of hours fishing. I'm not catching. I tell you, I tell people with tarpon, it's hero or zero. There's no better line. And we've been on the zero part a little too much.
Well,
I've been hooking some fish out in the passes and the beaches, but they, Neil, the biggest problem I've had is, you know, it's no different. It's no different than redfish or trout or snook or black drum at the bridges like you do. You got to figure the pattern out. You got to pattern these fish, figure out what they're doing before they're doing it or have an idea, and it's been real hard to do that.
Right.
It's inconsistent patterns matched with inconsistent fish, matched with too many people fishing one area. You know, it's been a mixture of things that's made it real tough for me.
Well, there's also red tide looming out there, which I also wonder has affected everything we have going on inside Tampa Bay. You wonder if any of that blocked the migration. You just never know.
There's a lot of fish. They're just not biting. And I've heard Sanger clips down in Boca Grande. And I think that when we get away from this moon every day, I just talked to Will Shook and Mike Gore. And, today being earlier in the week, I did not fish tarpon. We did some snook and redfish and trout, caught mostly small snook. And they did well today. Yesterday was not as good. So my prediction, as we get later into this week towards when the show airs, the tarpon fishing is going to pick up, and it's going to get better. What we need is consistency with the water, which I think we're going to have. So once we get that consistency, you know, the fish are going to get good. And that's really, really what we need to happen for the tarpon fishing. We need to get rid of the west winds.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's coming. You can expect at some point it's going to get better and it's going to get a lot easier. But it's late into May. Things should hit a pattern about now.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're fishing flats, wind affects you, but it doesn't affect you as much as when you're fishing beaches and open areas of water. Fish do not want to sit in rough water for the most part. They will find some type of structure to relax against or hide behind. I mean, they don't want to fight them waves, just like we don't want to fight the waves, and the waves and all that stuff will push the fish around. So,
I believe that to be true.
Yeah, I mean, and you probably cannot fish them black drum that you fish on the bridges when it's rough just because it's too rough. But I could almost bet you that them drum, they might not leave, but on a rough day when there's four footers at that bridge, I can promise you they're hugged around them pilings even tighter than the days you're out there fishing on calm water just because, you know.
Well, they probably are, but, I mean, just to stay in there and catch them. I've gone out and done it on some days where it would have been better to be doing something else, and we've caught them, but it is just dreadful. I mean, because you're trying to stay up against that, and when you have wind like that, I mean, the waves are bouncing, and if you're going towards the bridge, you're bouncing off the bridge, and if it's blowing you away from the bridge, you're having to keep paddling to stay in there, so there's just better days for doing it, and if the wind's blowing, I will postpone those trips.
And that's the right answer. I will say that, you know, we did catch some fish earlier. Last Sunday, had a tarpon trip, and we were out there, and it was bad. They were calling for 8 to 10, supposed to pick up to 15. It was blowing 20 out of the west. and we were on the day behind the full moon, and I said, man, this is, we get out in the passage just like a washing machine of 3 to 4 footers. And I will tell you, tarpon fishing is about 50% skill, 50% luck, and that's a real good guesstimate.
Yeah.
And we used all 50% of each that day. I found a pot of fish offshore of me in another boat, and there was no fish in the pass, and there was very few fish, and we happened to go 1 for 2 on a day where a lot of people did not hook up.
Right.
I'd like to think that I'm good, but I will tell you that I was just lucky. The fish wasn't showing either because it was so rough. You would literally mark it on my side sonar and just dump a bunch of bait out. And they were biting, but you could not find the fish unless you either marked them on your side sonar or you would see them occasionally breach the surface. So it was a real challenge. The next day, which was Monday, went out there, beautiful weather. A lot more fish, didn't even get bit.
Hmm.
So, and it was just, yeah, it's kind of mind-boggling at times how, you know, you can take a day that's horrible and catch fish. And the day when there's a lot of fish and they just, the patterns have been real different every day. So I'm hoping that, you know, the tarpon season gets a little bit better and kind of averages out and when we start getting a good pattern and figuring the fish out a little better.
Exactly.
But, you know, as far as the best of the rest for me, smooth fishing continues to be strong on the South Shore. And, you know, I'm running out of St. Pete, but I'm fishing the lower end of Tampa Bay. I'm not even fishing St. Pete too much. We got on some good trout fishing as well. I will for the listeners out there, I've been really watching the water temperature, and I'm seeing a 7-degree swing from the early morning at 6 o'clock till about 11.
Gotcha.
Going from 70s to mid-80s pretty fast. Don't ask me why. Maybe it's just certain areas I'm fishing. But, you know, that's a big swing. So if you're going to fish the fly, especially like trout right now, and I'm not telling you anything, you know this better than anybody, but get an early start, you know.
Yeah. Well, Jason, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we are going to have the tides and the weather. So hang tight, listen to these messages from our sponsors, and we will be right back.
Charles Keller Tree Service of Gibsonton salutes all our military for their service and sacrifice to our country. Go to USO.org for more ways to help. This salute from Charles Keller Tree Service, your locally owned and family-owned tree care pros. With more than 2 decades experience, offering 24/7 emergency service removal, trimming, stump grinding, and more. Call 813-770-8811 for a free estimate and ask about their service member discounts. That's Charles Keller Tree Service, also wishing all our active military a safe and speedy return home.
The ultimate convenience in organic food delivery is at your computer. OrganicHealthyMe.com is America's first choice for home delivery of organic, natural food, personal care, and pet products. All the non-GMO verified foods, coconut products, and vegetables at deep, deep discounts. Go to OrganicHealthyMe.com to see daily specials from brands you're familiar with, such as Bar Harbor, Amy's, Eden, Enjoy Life, and many more. Hundreds of brands to choose from, all delivered to your door on time at your convenience. No more hassle running around town to try to find your favorite natural and organic foods or personal care items. Your pet will love the variety and healthy products. Go to organichealthyme.com for a food delivery service you will use many times over. Organichealthyme.com, fueling the food revolution. Organichealthyme.com is endorsed and featured on News Talk Florida and SportsTalkFlorida.com.
The tides and weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner Paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you. All right, segment two of the show. We're back. Captain Jason's there. The tides and the weather. Jason, I got the tides sitting right here. Do you want me to do the tides?
You will, man.
All right, 57% moon. That means pretty dreadful. Literally, the water is not moving at all today. Tomorrow, not a great deal better, although the afternoon water is moving a little bit. Tuesday gets better. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're coming up 2% moon next Saturday. So we will be on the new moon tides by this time next week. So look forward to some better fishing as the week progresses. The next couple days are not particularly awesome.
Well, here's the good thing about the weather. You know, I'm looking at the weather report here, and we got 9 degrees and sunny. And 60% chance of rain by 7 p.m., 60 at 4, but only 10% in the morning. So,
yeah,
it'll be a beautiful day out there.
I hope that holds true. I'm going to be doing quite a few trips this week, and it would be nice to, if it's going to be weather, to be late afternoon, because I'll be done and home. I'm done and home by noon this time of year.
Well, you know, Neil, it's getting to summer patterns, which I'm okay with. It's the oddball stuff where it's raining all day that's been throwing me for a loop. But, it's been a challenge. We just need some consistent weather. I can promise all the listeners out there that the fishing's going to get better once we get consistent weather. And I think we have that. I want to mention something too, you know, about the tarpon fishing out there. I mean, it seems to be a growing problem with the, how people fish out there and being ethical. It's really become, and I'll be honest with you, half of it's probably guides. Just knowing, when you hook a fish, what to do so you don't mess everybody else up. Everybody's got this thing now where they want to hook 5 tarpon at once, and I really don't understand the purpose of that.
Yeah.
To me, if I'm a paying customer and I hook a fish, do I want 4 fish on at once or 3 fish on at once in a boat, or do I want to concentrate on hooking 1 fish and landing it and staying on top of your fish? Typically what you want to do, anchored up or drifting or whatever, is when you hook a fish, depending on how many boats are around you, you typically want to use your trolling motor, get on your big motor, and chase the fish. And as you do that, you want to stay on top of your fish. Now, if you're fishing a school by yourself and you want to let them run 300 yards of line out, because typically if you're using red fins or cut bait or on the beach, you have multiple fish underneath you, and when they start biting, they all bite at once typically. So there's a good chance that you're going to hook up multiple fish. The problem is when you got 4 or 5 boats fishing a big school and you let your fish run 200 yards of line across everybody else, well, guess what you're doing? You're ruining everything for everybody else because you're being greedy trying to hook 5 or 6 fish.
Yeah.
Because the ethical way is for me to reel up when your fish is hooked so you don't lose your fish, which is the other thing people need to learn how to do.
Yeah.
There's been this whole thing with this new era of fishing that let's see how many fish we can hook in one day, and we don't care if we screw the guy up next to us. And to me, that's just not right. That's not how I was brought up how to fish. And I'm telling you right now, half of it is guides. And as a guide, like it or not, and they're going to like what I'm saying, but, we set the example out there. So when you do something stupid and immature,
guess what the average angler is going to do? They're going to say, well, the guy can do it out there. Why can't I?
Right.
And I can promise you, whether they admit it or not, they're going to follow suit on what we do. And, you know, it's been a growing problem. And it's really frustrating and aggravating to me that people want to do that. And you know, the fact that they don't care that what they're doing for other people that are out there, everybody wants to go out and catch fish. And if you have one tarpon on, you know, just catch the one tarpon. I mean, you know, if you went on a tarpon trip with me, would you rather say, yeah, we hooked 13 fish and didn't get any, or just say, hey, we got a great tarpon to the boat, we got some great pictures, you know, pictures of a lifetime. I mean, you know, I think that's a no-brainer answer.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, it just baffles me that they will screw up everybody else's fishing so that they can look like, you know, the man out there and fishing the past or whatever.
Right.
But, and I think that, honestly, people probably don't know the right way how to do it based on what they see in the past. Somebody that maybe is kind of a rookie at tarpon fishing goes out there, and as we say on the air all the time, take a step back, see what everybody's doing out there so you don't screw up other people. Well, if they see guys just hooking a bunch of fish and not moving and, you know, not staying on top of their fish, they're going to think that's the right way to do it, and it's not. So, I don't want to throw them off soapbox. Instead of getting aggravated, which I do, I try to educate people as best I can. That's all I can do, and I think that's the right way to do it. But, you know, it's a great fishery out there we have, and there's a lot of potential for everyone to catch fish, but we all just need to work together, not against each other.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm saying, Neil.
Yeah, I'm pleased that I don't have anything to do with the tarpon thing. I've actually got some spots where no one fishes them, and we have an opportunity to hook them, but I've usually got trout gear, and most of these tarpon, you hook it on the rods or reels, I have someone holding, it's a mismatch, but that's what, in the olden days, 7 years ago, I loved tarpon season because everyone was after them, and I had the snook all to myself. Everyone was tarpon, and I had all those big snook. You're able to catch snook where you are. There's still next to no snook in almost every location that I go.
Well, you're fishing kind of clear water, and I hear the snook fishing is just not good up there. And, you know, the same people.
Well, there aren't any. How can it be good if there aren't any?
Right. It's amazing how different locations that are that close to each other are having. And what it is the, you know, the South Shore and up in Gandy and inside Tampa Bay it's more like a nursery. So we have a lot of small snook, and I think we've had a few good spawns. And so we have quite a bit of fish.
It's time for the FWC people to pay their debts. There was a bet made. Guy shook my hand on it. Made a bet. He said that snook would be back to what they were in 2009 by this year. They're nowhere close. So,
I think it's some of that depends on the area that you're fishing, because some areas I think are pretty good. I don't know if they're back to numbers.
Well, looking at the whole picture, there's no way that you can consider it recovered to 2009 levels based on what we have when you look at the aggregate, the entire population. The answer would be no.
I would agree with you from what I've seen across the board. I would say certain areas have done really well. Boca Grande has done really well with snook. Their recovery has been great. Down south is still hurting. I think we've had good recovery in certain areas. Certain areas are still hurting. But, you know, it'll get better with every year. I think we're taking a little back step with the open season. But
if they were so well recovered, maybe my clients would be catching a big snook now and again. No one's got a big snook in 7 months.
I would tell you my experience on snook since the kill. And I'm no expert, but I do fish a lot, and I like to think I'm decent at what I do. You know, what I have figured out is, well, I used to catch fish pre the kill. I don't catch a lot of fish anymore. I mean, when I used to play, I used to catch a lot of fish. Places that I've never fished before or didn't catch snook, now I catch snook. So I think some of the fish that had lived through the freeze and now that have reproduced have found new areas, maybe for whatever reason, they just got deeper water, maybe they feel more comfortable if there is a freeze. They change the patterns. So not to say that you're not fishing areas where there's going to be fish, but in the areas I'm fishing, that's what I've experienced. But to add to your point, it was nice. I did some fishing this week, mixed in inshore and tarpon, and it was nice. I went inside, and there was not a whole lot of people fishing redfish, no trout on the flats. Very peaceful. Fishing was very good. Very, very, very good fishing. We caught some nice trout. We got some snook. The redfish have not been what I thought they would be this year, but, you know, that happens. That happens. So, you know, it is what it is. Fishing is fishing. As long as you're catching some fish, we can't predict what we're going to catch. But, you know, I think we're looking at some good snapper fishing in the next couple of weeks. I'd say the next moon. They're already starting to catch some. And the mangrove snapper kind of takes highlight for me going in July. Along with tarpon, we'll get our resident tarpon that'll start showing up. But not doing a lot of snapper fishing right now, but as that water climbs and we get next to them moon phases in July, it's really going to go off.
Yeah, and I wonder what the rest of the summer will hold. The red fishing has simply not been what it has been in years past.
Yes, you're right. And I kind of scratched my head on that. It's the same thing in St. Pete, same thing on our side. We caught quite a bit of reds. We're just not seeing the schools.
No.
And I kind of wonder, I don't think our populations are down. Maybe I think we have a lot of pressure. And
must be.
It's worth the fact that redfish spook. And when you have boats running up and down flats and a lot of boat traffic, these fish are going to get in the bushes. They're going to break up. They're not going to school up. So I think that's some of the issue. I mean, go out on any area, whether it's Clearwater, St. Pete, you know, east side of the bay. Go out on a weekend, midday, and see how many jet skis and boats and people that are out on the water. And it's a good thing. It's good to have people involved and enjoying that, enjoying what we have to offer, because people come from all over the world to fish here.
Yeah.
But that can explain some of the issues with the redfish, because they're not like snook. Snook don't spook off. They typically will sit in a hole. They stay close.
Yeah.
You know, the redfish are just, they're a little different. Redfish are a lot like tarpon. They're always moving. They just tarpon move even more, and tarpon are bigger and deeper water, but, yeah, I don't know. Redfish in general this year has been off for sure.
Yeah. We're going to go to break number two, Jason, so hang tough here. We'll be back after these messages. Segment three, the Come On Man. The Skyway Fishing Piers open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drive up to terrific action at bare minimum expense. No fishing license necessary. Enjoy some great fishing action at the mouth of Tampa Bay. Take advantage of our expert staff, rod rentals, and enjoy some awesome rod bending action from both our north and south piers. We are looking forward to seeing you at the Skyway Piers.
Designed by professional guides with four characteristics that all high-end fishing rods have. Durability, sensitivity, stability, and value. Built to use under all fishing conditions that every angler faces, there is no rod that covers more of your fishing needs. Ohiro series rods include gold, platinum, signature, specialty kayak, and tournament rods. A rod for every angler. Whether you're a recreational angler, guide, or tournament professional, they have a rod that will be as versatile as your fishing condition. Find Ohiro rods at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or www.justforfishing.com.
And now it's time for the Come On Man, sponsored by Foy's Tire Service. If you need to get some new tires on your truck, car, or even your boat, just give Foy's Tire Service a call at 813-241-4017. And we're back, segment three of the show, halfway done. We hope you're having a great morning, and if you're fishing, we hope that your fishing's decent on kind of a tough tide day. And I'm kind of looking forward to this week. The new moon tides are going to be coming at the end of the week, and I've got a lot of stuff planned, and I'm back to pompano and drum fishing. So I'm looking forward to what we have going this next week.
Yeah, you know, going into next week, I've got, you know, these slower tides for tarpon aren't a bad thing. You know, it was kind of nice. I will say what was nice is being in the passes and the tide just not absolutely cranking through there.
Right.
So when if you're trying to use cut bait and basically create a chum with a scent, it's made it easier because the tide's just not cranking so hard, and these fish are moving out on the beaches, and they're doing a little different stuff this week, but it's made it kind of nice in that perspective with these slower tides. I know you're the same situation as me. On these slower tide areas, you want to find areas with swift moving water.
Yep.
Because that water, you need some type of movement to catch fish, and you can find them this time of year. You just got to put your timing out there and really, you know, hone in on them spots. And the other thing I like to do is just slow down what you do. Don't be so quick to move. This year I've really keyed in on working areas on my trolling motor a little bit more and spending more time really being precise in certain quadrants. And I've caught more fish and less running, and I think that's key.
Slowing stuff down this time of year, if you're not going with that philosophy, you're not going to do as well as other people.
Well, we got the come on man. I know I've got one come on man. And so I told you we did some inshore fishing this week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hooked what I thought was a baby barracuda because it ran drag and I seen it jump and I'm like, what in the world? So we get it in the boat. And it's the biggest what I assumed was a needlefish. Looked identical. Somebody educated me, told me it was a houndfish.
Yep.
We had a 33-inch, what I thought was a needlefish. And somebody educated me actually on Facebook. I learned something. There's actually something that looks identical. It has to be the same family called a houndfish. And they're rarely caught here. And especially I caught mine on the flats. But it was a pretty much a come on man that I didn't know what species it was. But I've never, have you ever caught one, Neil?
Yeah, I have. Not as long as that, but probably about 5-6 inches shorter than the one you got.
You got it on the flats?
Yeah. I got it I got it outside a creek in Upper Tampa Bay.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's somewhat of a rarity because people were, you know, They were kind of shocked, and I had one guy. Everybody thought it was a needlefish until some guy's like, "Yeah, I caught one. It's called a houndfish. He caught an Egmont, I guess." And I was like, "Really? Well, that's interesting." So, hey, you know what? I always say it's a good day when you learn something. But the come on man's on me. The other come on man I had, Neil, was, you know, mentioning etiquette and guides, and you know. So we found this pot of fish offshore, and there's another guide come up, and the guy literally went in front of me as I was waiting for the school to push through, literally cut in front of me twice. And come on, man. I mean, you know the guy knows better. He's just being a prick.
I can probably guess who it is.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just people, some guides, some recreational anglers get way too caught up in catching fish. And for me, you know what, I've always said that you may not have a whole lot being a guide. You're not going to get rich. But one thing you don't ever want to tarnish is your name.
And when exactly.
You start doing stuff like that, you really hurt yourself. And you make the come on man.
Yeah. Well, the only one I really got that had this kid. He's not a kid, but he's a young working adult, and I'd taken him and his father fishing a couple of times. So he showed up to take a trip with me with one of his friends, and he's bringing his own boat. He got a new boat, and he got one of my boats. And so he showed up, and I've got the other two boats down for me and his friend, and he's unloading his. And it's dark because we're starting at 5:30 in the morning. And so getting the boats down there to the water, I go, "You bought the wrong boat." And he goes, "This is the ultimate." And I go, That's the ultimate FX. I go, that's the boat that's the reason I left their company. And his buddy started laughing. And I said, you tell me afterwards. I go, have you had it out already? And he goes, no. And I said, you tell me afterwards what your thoughts are in this boat. And we're out there about 15 minutes. And he goes, this thing doesn't paddle right. And I just told him, I go, it's a different boat. I go, I said the layout, that entire layout came from me. Those were all my design ideas, but they did the one thing I told them not to, and they changed the hull, and they made it heavier. And I go, just watching you paddle it, I said, is making me cringe. I said, you're having to paddle so much harder than your buddy. And anyway, he was like, he was heartbroken. And I said, maybe
I think you're retarded.
I said, maybe you'll like it, but I said, you know, if you don't like it, sell it and get one of these boats. So,
and they, can you still buy the ones that you used? Because I remember you.
They went back to it. So they got bought out by another company. The company flopped. When they came out with that boat tanked, and the company was in trouble. So Hurricane bought out Native. So that happened, and the first decision that my friends with Hurricane made was to start making my boat again. The reason I left their program, no one, you know, with them discontinuing the Manta Ray and discontinuing the original Ultimate, no one could buy any of the boats I was using, so why would I be on their program? That,
right.
I was really annoyed. I mean, I was very upset.
Well,
the promises
were
made were not kept. It really upset me, but how can I stay on staff if no one can buy the product that they're fishing in with me? Because when I found out what they did to that boat, I ordered 9 of them. I got the old model, and they're, you know, that's now 3 years ago, so my boats are worn out. So,
well, you know, it's one of them things, and I kind of do the same thing with Canyon Bay. They're a great company, and when you put your when you give them recommendations. And sometimes what I want is not what everybody wants, but I can tell them that the recommendation I give them is an educated recommendation. It's not just me blowing smoke. And same thing with you and the kayaks. When you do a recommendation, especially with yours, you know, I know one of the issues is weight. And that just makes sense to me when you're putting...
The best selling point of that boat is anyone could lift it.
Right.
Why would
you
change
that?
Away, yeah.
But, yeah, same thing I do with Canyon Bay. And they're real receptive to changes in the boat, and they've done a lot of stuff based on me giving them feedback. I've been running one since 08. And the new owners are even better. They're pushing the boats more. They're marketing them. And I've got Mike from Canyon Bay. We're going out doing a tarpon trip. And I've got Kevin also next week going out on tarpon. So get these guys out on the boat. And getting them out there, and that's the best thing to do. Let me get them out there firsthand and show them why I want this, why I don't want this, in a fishing aspect, not just me telling them at a boat show or in a meeting, but actually getting them out there on the boat and getting a feel for the boat and learning, you know, learning the product like I know it. Because I can promise you it's the same thing with your kayak. Nobody knows that boat and the way it runs better than I do.
Well, that's what I did a seminar last week, and it's a newer fishing club, and there are about 4 people sitting there that I knew, and a whole bunch of people that they set a record in attendance for my meeting. A lot of people wanted to hear what I had to say, and so I was telling people about me, and I said, in the last 11 years, if there's anyone else on earth that has sat in a plastic boat longer, they need to be institutionalized. And these people started laughing, and it's true. There is probably no one on earth that has sat in a kayak longer than I have the last 11 years. So my thoughts on kayaks, and particularly with kayak fishing, they're upper tier. And people don't always want to listen. People come up with their own decisions.
And I don't, like I said, guys at Canyon, sometimes ask me why we do this, why do that, and I'm like, well, why not do that? And it's funny, half the stuff that we've changed has not cost the company more money. It's just been a different fitting. The fitting doesn't cost anymore, or a different drain. And it's really, you know, helped the boat, helps
storage be a little bit drier, you know, and it's, you know, it really shows when you get in the boat. And the same thing with your kayaks. But it's always good, too. I mean, there's a good feeling you get when you know that you see that boat, you see a happy customer purchase that boat, and they like what they have. They like the features that maybe you had some input on. A good example, I've kind of helped. I had the original design of the half tower with a hard top. I actually did one of my own, and now they make it as an option. And everybody that's got that boat loves the option. And it's, you know, something that I know I had my hands in and actually developed the hard top as far as I didn't actually build it, but actually they took measurements off my original one that I had a guy do for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's pretty cool. That's always pretty cool. And that's why I like the small local companies versus, you know, the big companies, you know, which, they're not bad. It's just you're another number. Them guys don't feedback too much. They don't take too much feedback.
So. Well, Jason, we're going to go to our final break when we come back, segment four of the show. So we will be right back after these messages.
Catch more fish? Try Ohiro's 100% fluorocarbon leader. It's by far the most invisible fluorocarbon on the market today, with superior abrasion resistance to meet any rugged saltwater conditions. Ohiro fluorocarbon leader is easy to tie and comes in all strengths to fit every angler's needs. Used by many tournament anglers and charter boat captains, Ohiro fluorocarbon leader should be in your tackle box.
See them at www.justforfishing.com, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or any of your major tackle shops.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface course with a noise-attracting clip. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you'd like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com. Or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584.
Spring cleaning for your garage door? Call 319-0327, the Overhead Door Company.
This is the Dan Patrick Show.
I just like to say that y'all rock, man.
I think Under Armour and the Warriors both got good deals with Steph Curry. Do we look at Under Armour as that's the new and Nike feels like the old? Not that Nike is going to go bankrupt or out of business anytime soon. But if you look at what Under Armour has done, they've done pretty well with the Under 26. It's pretty incredible.
Dan Patrick.
Weekday mornings 9 to noon on Sports Talk 1040, the team. This is the place where the sports experts live. Backed by Sports Talk Florida and NBC Sports, we have the resources to keep you informed. Sports Talk 1040, the team. Pure sports talk.
Want to fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show? All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This segment brought to you by PowerPole Shallow Water Anchors. Swift, silent, and secure. For more information, go to PowerPole.com.
The final segment of the show, the sound effect segment.
That was horrible, man.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't ready for it. I forgot that I did sound effects this segment, and I kind of got caught off guard.
Speaking of sound effects, guys, you hear the sound effects in between our commercials. That's our sponsors.
Yeah.
These guys have been with us for years, and they're out there supporting them. A lot of them are local-based companies. Keep your money local. Go into the local tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters. You know, if you're a kayak, get you a Warner paddle, Canyon Bay Boats.
Yep.
Alpine Marine.
12-fathom lures. Yep.
12-fathom lures. You guys are local. They've stayed with us through the years, and they help support this show, and they let us get on the air. So go out there, support our local, some our local shops. Tell them you heard it from the radio, and keep the money local. I think that's a huge thing. Just like before the break, I tell you this, Canyon Bay is a small builder, and I really enjoy working with them, and I see the benefits of working with them. I see the process and the changes that they've made that I've actually helped them go through. So it's good. Keep it local. It's a great thing. Also, don't forget, guys, Premier Guides, if you want to give us a call, you want to do a charter with me, with Captain Travis, do a kayak guided trip with Neil, all you got to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And also check our podcast out when you miss us. I listened to the podcast, Neil, this past week, and it's kind of weird hearing yourself.
Yeah, they're good, though. I listen to them when I'm doing other stuff on the computer.
Yeah, but, I tell you what I do for the listeners out there. There's a Podomatic app you can download on your phone, and if you sign up for the Podomatic app for all of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio, you will get an email every week when we download, which is typically Wednesday. This week will be Tuesday. You will get an email. That email will have an automatic link to the latest link. Now, what I did, Neil, is I'm over out of O'Neill's for tarpon season, and so I got a 30-minute drive or whatever. I actually kicked it on my phone. My phone connects to my truck, and I listen through right through my radio.
Yeah.
So it's as easy as that. Or you can do it on the computer. You can do it on your smartphone, tablet. It's easy to listen. You can listen when you want. And although the reports are usually a week old, use that information to your benefit. Use it for, save it. You can use it as a log for next year. You know that around that time, you can listen to our reports. And next year, if you can download them on your computer, you can get a heads up. I mean, fish are going to do just about the same thing. You see what we were talking about last year and use that for next year. A lot of benefits to the podcast.
Yeah. Our listeners, we have a lot of live listeners to the show, too. So my friend Joe died last week, so I brought that up on the show. And then an hour after we were done recording the show, Terry Tomlin, my editor at the Times, died of a heart attack. So that's 2 in 2 days. The following morning, my phone rang on my way to my charter.
Terry Tomlin?
Terry Tomlin is dead.
He was an editor for years.
55 years old. He was editor for like 26 years or something.
Yeah, he was kind of like up there with the Frank Sargents and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as an icon, in the industry, everybody knew who he was. Wow, I did not know that. I need to get out more.
Yeah, and then the day after that, my phone rings on the way to a charter, and it's the father of an ex-girlfriend of mine. She died in a car crash. Boom, boom, boom. 3 days, 3 deaths.
So that's crazy, man.
Last week was kind of a long week.
Life is short. Get out there and do some.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I did. I buried myself in my work and my writing and my other stuff. But there will be times like that.
I did not know Terry Tomlin died. That is insane.
Yeah, he was.
That was insane.
He had kids 12 and 14. He was doing something with the 14-year-old. They were doing a training thing. Ironically, I think it was like a CPR training thing. But he went down, and they could not resuscitate him. But I guess the thing you sit back, you look, and you watch, and what you're kind of impressed by with certain things, all the stories people are telling, because they're just hundreds of thousands of people who know him. And all these people taking their time to tell these positive stories, that has to make it better for his family to hear all these stories that they wouldn't have heard otherwise. So,
did the paper do some kind of special yet? I don't read the paper much anymore. But
they did. They've had a couple of things in there. And then someone told me that I have to go and look. Someone said they were publishing letters. They were getting letters from readers and people that knew him, and they were publishing those. I haven't seen those yet, but I know they're out there. Yeah.
Wow, that is. I mean, I'm shocked. I didn't even know that, Neil. That's crazy.
I was supposed to have coffee with him the following day. So, guy came up and said, "Do you know Terry Tomlin?" I go, "I'm having coffee with him tomorrow." And the guy shook his head and he spun his phone around, and it was on the internet pretty fast. I mean, it had just happened like an hour and a half earlier, and they had it on the internet that he died. So
wow.
I changed my coffee plans.
Yeah. That's sad to hear, man. Life can be short sometimes.
Yeah.
But enjoy it while you're here.
Terry and I didn't agree on all things, but he never...
Well, that's life.
He never did anything negative to me when I held the opposite view of him. He was fine with that. He never said anything. We never had any problems over it. So
well, everybody's going to agree or disagree. That's,
he was a professional.
Know, disagree and you know, I mean, you'll disagree, but as long as we disagree, but we're okay with it. We have our places with certain things, and it just works out. It doesn't get ugly,
Right.
But, yeah, I'm reading it right here online.
Yeah.
Wow. Terry Tomlin's life will be celebrated. That's crazy.
Yeah, they're doing, you know, a couple of days ago they had this thing where all these people showed up to paddle around Fort DeSoto. So that was very well attended. So.
Interesting. So, Neil, on a positive note, what are we going to be going in next week? Everybody knows I'm going to be tarpon fishing.
I'm working more of the bridge trips, and I'm going to do a couple scouting trips, but I've gone ahead and placed a couple of those trips. We're still on big trout. We're still on good mackerel. I took a friend out on an off day, and we slaughtered the mackerel. I was able to run my smoker three times and make fish spread for the entire town of Safety Harbor. So there's still good action there, so I'll be taking a couple charters. I'll have a couple off days, too, and on off days, now it's this time of year, I will be staying in the air conditioning a little bit more. So whenever I get the chance, staying out of the sun is not so bad.
It is not. I made a visit to the dermatologist, and can look good, but, you know, hey, we're getting older, and me and here in the sun about 380 days a year, so.
Yeah.
And Travis, too. No matter what you put on it or do, you're going to end up, you know, getting cold. You only got one layer. Well, I guess you got multiple layers. But
I think it would be funny if the sun killed me.
Neil, we don't want that to happen.
Oh, well, we don't want that to happen, but I think it would be funny. What happened to Neil? Sun killed him. Ha ha.
So I tell you guys, you know, we're talking about the tarpon, but I will say, as mentioned earlier, if you can get out on the flats, they're fairly empty. I've done some inshore trips. It's been nice, and the fishing's been good.
Yeah.
If you're going to get out the next week, you know, really, if you really like the snapper fishing, I think the snapper are going to show up a little early this year. They're just starting to poke in, but, you know, hitting them reach.
I may go do some snapper fishing this year. I don't like baiting a hook, but,
catching snapper artificial is pretty far and tough.
You know, on the fly, it's more doable. I have fly fishing clients. I'm able to get them some snapper, but, on the lures, it's fairly rare. But yeah, like 3 weeks ago, we caught four in a week on lures, which is very unusual, but, I've got some really good snapper spots, and my nephew's going to be getting out of school, and I'm sure he'll be coming over to hang out with me some, so I may go to a little snapper fishing on off days. And I always did like eating snapper above almost
every day. Oh, they're
everything.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Sea trout and snapper are the best fish. I'm not a big redfish fan. It's okay. But I don't know. I don't think redfish is that good. I mean, it's okay, but I think it's overrated. I think trout's underrated. But, yeah, the snapper fishing, start, you know, looking at your residential docks, your any kind of rock jetties, the hundreds of reefs in the bay are going to hold snapper, any of your bridge pines, any kind of stretch that they're going to move in, they're going to do their spawning, if there's some, and you know, they're going to be big offshore, but you can also catch plenty of inshore. We get some real big ones inshore. And it's just a matter of getting out there and doing it. You know, the small fry bait hadn't showed up yet, but I think that's going to be the key. That's going to be the key to when the big, you know, when the snapper really start going off. But it's coming. Get out there and do some snapper fishing. We're starting to catch some already on the flats. It's going to be a good snapper year for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of sad to see the water temperatures go up. I really enjoy the spring. But, you know, it comes around to it, and it's summertime, and you make your adjustments. You still catch your fish. It's not as easy to do, but you get through these 4 months of really, really hot weather, and then you're back to some really good months. So, anyway.
For sure. Well, guys, don't forget to sign up for the Captain Mel Forum. CaptainMel.com, the official website of the radio show, has been for the last 2 years as Neil has joined us on radio. It's been, what, 3 years, Neil?
Yep. It's been, I think, a little over 3 years.
And you've been quite the addition to the show, especially bringing the website and your knowledge on kayak fishing. But check it out, CaptainMel.com. It's got the forum there. They've got a lot of good articles, and it's a great place to go, great site to get information if you're looking for a charter. Whether it's one of us, of course, we'd rather it be that, but plenty of charter captains on the bay, on there, and plenty of info.
And that's going to draw it to a close for the week, so I'd like to thank Captain Jason for calling in. He had a lot going with having a surgical procedure today. And like to thank all of our show sponsors. Again, check out CaptainMel.com. It's a great resource. We'll be back next week. We're going to have Jason Coffrin on one of these weeks. He's back in the area for a while.
Is he? Yeah, we'll have to get him in there.
Yeah, he's going to be contacting you to find out when you want to have him on, so we'll be having him on here shortly.
Good deal.
But that'll wrap it up for this week. Everyone have a great week of fishing, and we will look forward to catching you guys next week on the show again. Tight lines and happy fishing.
Feel where the creek turns.